Hey, we're welcome starting. Back to Boston Public Radio. We were just having a cash conversation with our friends here.
People miss out on the best part of the show, which is the breaks. I mean, it is so fun in here for that.
Actually, it wasn't that much fun, I know what you mean. Yeah. That is the voice, by the way, of Edgar B. Herwick III. He's the person on top of or behind the GBH Curiosity Desk.
Often underneath.
Also in here, that's between you and the desk, I think. Here with us also is Sarah Rodman. Sarah's the pop music and TV critic, of course, for the Boston Globe. Great to see both you guys.
Hello.
Happy to be here.
We love, by the way, I love this segment. Marjorie really loves this segment.
Because,
when she hears the two of you are coming, she is in ecstasy.
I'm a loser, okay, when it comes to music. And, you know, I feel as though I can impress my friends. My iPod is sounding better. My children don't think I'm as pathetic as I used to be because I, of course, can import all these songs onto my little iPod. I finally figured out how to do it. iPod, that is. And, you know, I feel
you can put them on your iPad,
too. For you, Marjorie.
You can put them on
your
iPad.
Okay, Sarah.
You can. Your iPad,
I'll show you how to do that.
You can. Great.
Okay,
technology.
Sarah Rodman, why don't you start us off this particular week?
I will start us off with a song from my favorite album title of the year. This album is called Good Wine and Bad Decisions.
Oh, I love it.
It's so good. And this is an artist named Julie Roberts. She's a country singer who sort of had it happening in the early aughts, but then it wasn't really working for her. And then earlier this year, she actually went on The Voice, and she didn't get anybody to turn around, which is amazing because she's really great. So she went to Memphis to Sun Studios and put out a new record. And this song is called He Made a Woman Out of Me.
Wow.
All right.
A little bit south of Montgomery. Mama worked in a big house. Daddy, he worked for the county. Never had no learning till I turned 16. When Joe Henry come up the river, y'all, Lord, he made a woman out of me.
That is unbelievable. Oh, by the way, Sarah, you are the only person who has used the aughts in a sentence with like no pretense. It just came out there.
Natural.
The early aughts. It was great.
Do people not say that? Is that
I've never heard it before. I love it. I mean, that is the term. Oh, so what's where is this? I am embarrassed to say I never heard of her. What's her?
So she's so great, and she just sort of got lost in that shuffle of there was sort of a group of people that came out at that time, and she didn't have, you know, a great big hit song. And so she ended up getting dropped from her label. But then Sun came to the rescue. And if this is not sort of a Dusty in Memphis revisited, so sexy, the whole album is really sultry and smoky. It's country music, but it's also R&B and blues. And this is a woman who has lived. There's a great song on here called Gasoline and Matches, which is all about how sort of the combustive relations.
Intense.
Yes, it's really, really
good.
That's
why you love country music, though. Everybody is always, you know, the gun rack and the beers and too many beers. And my daddy left me and my grandpa stepped on me and all these disasters. You know, I just love
a good disaster can be a good time, especially this time of year.
So can you top that, Edgar B. Herwick III?
No, we know. This is what happens. Sarah comes out of the gate. It's not a competition that Sarah,
I am winning.
Not a competition that Sarah always wins. Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm going to start off with a new record called Harlem River. This is by a guy named Kevin Morby. He's a little bit of a nomad in the indie rock world. He's played with a couple of bands out of Brooklyn, one called The Woods and one called The Babies, or I should say Woods and The Babies. And they both had sort of moderate levels of success, you know, within their certain genres. But he's kind of struck out on his own now, and he's put out a solo record. It's a really good record. It's actually generally a pretty quiet record. It's a pretty pensive record. A lot of acoustic guitars, a lot of guitar playing and sort of electronics and organ sound. And he's drawn really from kind of updating to some extent and on another level kind of mimicking the sound of somebody like a Lou Reed, Bob Dylan, Leonard Cohen. You hear a little bit of that in it. But you also hear some of the people like who are around now, like a Kurt Vile, with a little bit of the atmospherics. This track is called Wild Side, Oh, the Places You'll Go. Here's a little taste of this. You'll definitely hear the Bob Dylan influence here.
Let the sun come up, let the sun rise. As it rips the curtain of your eye. And oh, my lover, is it always the same? With your pointing your finger, the way back I came.
I like it a lot.
Yeah.
But because the Dylan... Is he trying to be Dylan? Or you know, is that... You know what I mean?
I picked this track because it's definitely the most upbeat for a segment like this, if you're just going to listen to it. And that's the one where he's sort of mostly on the nose with Dylan with that. Especially you hear that like organ behind him, which is so reminiscent of like the Blonde on Blonde era Dylan. The rest of the record, he doesn't really sound as much like Bob Dylan. He's definitely not doing past. He's probably a little bit better of a singer than Bob Dylan is, but there's definitely a strong influence there. Less so through the rest of the record, though.
What's the name of the guy, speaking of organ, the most famous organ riff?
Al Cooper,
a Somervillian, right? Former front man for Blood, Sweat, and Tears, and one of the greats. He was on virtually every big song ever done by anybody. He's unbelievable.
That Rolling Stone thing.
Oh, man. Yeah. It is unbelievable.
Classic. Yeah.
Okay, so I'd say you did pretty well for yourself.
It was okay.
Well. I mean, he's no Julie Roberts, but he was. So can you raise your game even more, Sarah Robin?
I believe I can.
Okay, we shall see, won't we?
But really, it's in the hands of Norah Jones and Billy Joe Armstrong, because this is a very, I mean, talk about an odd couple, right? This is this sort of honey-voiced chanteuse and the lead singer of Green Day getting together to make a tribute album to the Everly Brothers.
They are also known, by the way, as Good Wine and Bad Decisions.
Right, exactly. That is how this happened at the meeting. But it actually ended up being Good Wine and Good Decisions, because the album, which is called For Everly, it's not the Wake Up Little Susie, Bye Bye Love. It's not the popular songs. It's actually almost a track-by-track remake of Everly Brothers' album called Songs My Father Taught Me that came out in 1958. And it's a lot of sort of traditional country, traditional folk music. And this song, which is my favorite song on the record, because I'm a sucker for this kind of song, it's about a little boy on a train who doesn't have the money to pay for the train ride. And then they find out it's because he's on his way home to his mother's funeral.
Oh my God. Wow.
It's called Lightning Express, Revel in the Sadness.
The Lightning Express from the depot so grand and started out on its way. All of the passengers that were on board seemed to be happy and gay. But one little boy who sat by himself was reading a letter. You could plainly tell by the look on his face that the contents of it made him sad.
Because his mother's dead.
But you know, the duet.
Is there anything funnier than death?
It's a riot. The duets, though, I love duets.
I think
like
in a
this.
Blind taste test, most people would not recognize that voice as Billy Joe Armstrong's voice.
Would you be shocked if I told you I actually saw Green Day at Gillette? I mean, it's
really?
Pretty, I know.
Shocked that you went to Gillette.
I know. Well, it's the only stadium concert I've ever seen. He was unbelievable. And now I can't. You know what? I can't get out. I love Norah Jones. Mm-hmm. I can't get out of my head her performance in Ted. I mean, the fact that she was dead.
I know, right?
It's just so weird. What did you think of that song?
I thought it was terrific. I think
they sound really, really good.
You know, it's funny, when I was in high school, and that's kind of Green Day hit the scene when I was in high school, and you know, my mother's a big music person, and you know, a lot of stuff I listened to was the stuff that she was into, but in high school that was like the time when our taste probably diverged the most, and a lot of the stuff that I was listening to, that early grunge stuff, she wasn't really into. But it was funny with Green Day, even right out of the gate, my mom always would say, she goes, "That guy can really sing." That was her. Yeah. That was her thing about Billy Joe from the beginning. She's like, he can really, really sing, and you hear it in this. And to your point, you're right. You hear that, and you're not necessarily going to peg that as him. I think he sort of sings in character a little bit with Green Day,
and you can kind of hear that on this too.
And but somebody that can do that that shows some versatility. And he is. He's a really good singer, and on a track like that, it really works.
Now, excuse me for 1 second. Mm-hmm. Since not all of us have seen Ted. Yes. Was Norah Jones good or not good?
She played herself, and she was fine, right?
But as having had a sexual liaison with Ted the teddy bear.
Yeah.
She does. I mean, does she not? That is, why are you looking like that, Sarah? That's what Ted is talking about, how when they had a night. Exactly.
Oh,
it is upsetting. But
Teddy and Norah. Wow. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Okay, what do you got over there, Edgar B. Hurwitz III?
Well, I'm gonna stick with this sort of sadder theme. I'm gonna go with probably the most melancholy song I have on my list, and I'm actually excited to do this because I have lost all perspective on this woman. This is a woman named Kate Le Bon, right? She comes from Wales. And I have become so enraptured with her mystical, strange-sounding voice that I have lost any perspective on whether this music is good or not because
okay.
I have fallen
we'll
completely
you know.
Under its spell. I'm totally gone on this. So she has a new record out called Mug Museum. And she's an interesting case because her first album she recorded in Welsh. It was all songs sung in her native tongue of Welsh, which, as you guys know, sort of sounds like the elfish language from,
yes.
like, you know, Lord of the Rings. It's sort of mystical and magical. But, you know, she definitely, when you hear her, a lot of people will compare her to Nico from the Velvet Underground. She has this kind of very haunting voice. You'll also hear stuff like, you know, kind of Jefferson Airplane or Donovan. It's kind of psychedelic and folksy at the same time. This track in particular, sort of also is a little bit of a nod to French girl singers of the 60s and stuff like that. This is called I Think I Knew from her new record, Mug Museum. I'm interested to hear what you guys think of this.
There's no working it out.
I do
yes.
prefer the original Welsh, I have to say. Shit, that is
she
haunting
like
and
great.
Right?
Singing
right?
Nun. Remember the singing
not
nun?
The reminds
singing
me
nun.
A little bit of that Madeline Combat in Blazing Saddles. I'm so tired.
No, it's true, but you listen, she's saying things like there's no boundary to devotion, like, and it's lost in it. It's beautiful.
What's with you and exactly. the Donovan and Jefferson Airplane and Bob Dylan? I mean, what's going on? Is there some? I mean, there's a thread
is that,
through
is
these
that
things.
Stuff not great?
No, is Donovan alive, by the way?
Yes, he is.
He doesn't do anything anymore, does he?
No, yeah, he still puts records out.
He does?
Yeah, absolutely. He
looks good, too.
Yeah, he does. And the stuff he puts out now, I would argue, is not quite as good as what he was doing through the 60s and 70s, but it's still very good. And he, you know, he put a weird record out maybe about 10 years ago where it was called Sueños, right? And it was all stuff that he had. He was like, all of this music came to me in dreams. It's all stuff that I found in my dreams.
Shocking.
It's sort of like after years and years of being Donovan, that's what happens, I guess. But
right. I'm sure his dreams are right. But I like that, although no relation to Simon Le Bon from Duran Duran.
No relation to Simon Le Bon at all. And the rest of that record is not quite as sort of melancholy or slow as that is. And she can really, you know, she's got a really good guitar player who plays with her, can be really kind of big and rocking at times, psychedelic. It's good. It's a very good record.
Now, Sarah, I'm told your next selection talks about someone who goes home and their whole family has been taken out by... is that the next
it's
one on the list?
It's all over. It just gets worse and worse and worse.
What's next on your list?
Actually, next, Kate Le Bon might think she knew, but Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs, they don't know. This is actually a cover of a cover. Kirsty MacColl did the song originally, and then Tracy Ullman actually had sort of a hit with it in the 80s. And this Matthew Sweet and Susanna Hoffs, who's the lead singer of the Bangles, have been doing this series of albums called Under the Covers, where they do covers albums. And this one is devoted to the 80s. And the great thing about this record is that even though it's all different songs from all different artists, the Smiths, Tracy Ullman, it actually has a very sort of cohesive tone to it, like they make it their own thing. And this is just sort of a fun song. So this is They Don't Know.
You've been around for such a long time now. Maybe I could leave you, but I don't know how. And why should I be lonely every night when I could be with you? Oh, yes, you make it right, and I don't listen to the guys who say that you're bad for me.
I It's fun, right?
It's great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a retro girl group, layer cake harmony kind of thing. And the whole record is I mean, it's a lot of the record is more rockin' than that is. But that's just a really sort of enjoyable, frothy sound that they get.
That's one of my favorite songs. That Kirstie McCall version of that song, the original version, is one of my absolute favorite songs. It's a great karaoke song.
Yes.
It's another good thing about it. But now, Sarah, it occurs to me, now this song sounds like it's without tragedy, but how did Kirstie McCall die?
Oh, God, it's so sad.
Tell us how the original, the artist who did this song originally, how did she die?
God bless her heart. She was on vacation in Mexico with her children, actually. It is a sad story. And they were playing in the water, and she got hit by people on a jet ski, and it killed her. And her kids were there. It's awful.
Oh, that is horrible.
Just awful. And she was a terrific artist. You may also know her from the Pogues Fairy Tale in New York. She's the female voice on that, which is a popular holiday song that the Pogues do.
The unofficial or even official Christmas carol of Ireland.
Yes, and she was married to Steve Lillywhite, who's famous for producing records for U2 and the Dave Matthews Band and a whole bunch of people over the years. Yeah, that
it's
was a very sad
How old
story.
Is this woman? How old
she was probably only in her 40s, late That's 40s, horrible. Early 50s.
Great artist, great singer.
But,
thanks
yeah,
for bringing that up,
terrific
Edgar.
Song. Thanks, Edgar.
Well,
now
that
I've
effectively,
what are you bringing on the table now?
Well, let's bring it back up with some music. So, this is sort of a burgeoning, very good story. This is an artist named Jake Bugg. Now he comes from Nottingham, in England, and he grew up in what's basically the largest housing project in all of England. So he comes from this like really tough background. He's got this, you know, sort of great story about, you know, when he was a kid. He heard Starry, Starry Night by Don McLean. You guys know that song, Starry,
Absolutely.
Starry Night? Absolutely. Of course, right? So he heard that on an episode of The Simpsons.
About Vincent van Gogh, obviously. Right,
So he hears this on an episode of The Simpsons, and he sort of, it's one of these like life-changing moments. He's like 12 or 13 years old. His uncle buys him a guitar, and he gets obsessed with music and starts to write music, listen to music. He starts to really get into... To bring up what you were talking about earlier, people like Johnny Cash, the Everly Brothers, this kind of early American stuff. So he put a record out. He's still only 19. He put a record out last year, I guess, when he was 18, which got big thumbs up from a lot of critics, especially in England. And then he traveled around through the American South over the last year, and he teamed up with Rick Rubin here in America, who recruited some people that had played with Elvis Costello, as well as Chad Smith from the Red Hot Chili Peppers to play drums for this second record, which just came out. And this kid is young. This is not a perfect record, but he's young. His lyrics are great. He's got a lot of energy. And it's weird because he's also this big Oasis fan. So you'll hear this sort of sound. You can hear that he's British and this kind of like sound of Oasis on top of this kind of American, kind of early Americana rock and roll kind of thing. He's still kind of forming, I think, as an artist, but this record is really good, and he's definitely somebody to keep your eye on. So this is a tune called There's a Beast and We All Feed It, Jake Bugg.
They grin, but they don't mean it. They sing, but they don't feel it. They come, but they don't see it. They can call, but they can't eat it. Think, but they don't speak it. There's a beast eating every bit of beauty, and they all feed it. Stop. Moment, try to freeze it. They find they don't seek it. At the bar, but they can't meet it. Try the best, but they can't eat it. Nice call, somebody ease it. There's a beast eating every bit of beauty in you, stay feed it.
Sounds a little bit like a bug, doesn't he?
Yeah.
He does.
Yeah. But he sounds like somebody else. Who does he sound like?
He sounds like Liam Gallagher from Oasis to me.
His Dylan impression.
a little bit.
Hey, you guys, we only have 2 minutes left, so we got to move on to a quick one from each of you.
All right. This is my quick one from Butch Walker, one of my very favorite people, who sadly his father passed away earlier this year.
Really true or not?
That's really true. And he put out an EP called Peachtree Battle that was a little bit inspired by the elder Butch. And great artist who's worked with Keith Urban, Taylor Swift, Pink, Katy Perry. He's one of these producer-songwriter for hire for other people, but then he makes his own records that are just these incredible, beautiful, power pop, thoughtful, lyrical, great records. And the song is called Coming Home.
You're just another guy more than halfway home. Never getting sick of this drive alone. Taking back the money that'll borrow. Swearing it'll all end tomorrow. Looks like I got what I wanted. Just maybe not the way that I thought it should go. So I'm coming home.
You guys have really hit it today.
Yeah, these are great. My iPod is going to be so cool. I just won't be able to stand it.
So, Edgar, we have 45 seconds. We're going to go out on your song, actually. So give it to us.
So this is the Arcade Fire, who won a Grammy for their last record.
Sarah was applauding, by the way.
And then they just took a huge, bold step with this new record. They teamed up with a guy named James Murphy from a band called LCD Sound System, which really kind of gives them a little bit of a different flavor and a different sound. One of the artists in this band, her parents are from Haiti. And she took a trip to Haiti along with the band. It was their first time ever there. And this record is largely inspired by their experiences down in Haiti and what's going on there. Great, great record. Took a couple listens for me to come around, but I have come around. This is a big thumbs up from me.
We want to thank Sarah Rodman from the Boston Globe. Sarah, it's great to see you,
you
as
too.
Always.
Thank you, Sarah, for coming in.
Our colleague, WGBH's Edgar B. Herwick III. You guys were great, as always. We can't wait till next time. We'll be back in a second, so do not go away.